Hello everyone, welcome to Sundance's special sleepcast. I'm Sundance and this is for Cassidy. Today I'm going to tell a fun little story about some New Year's and Christmas traditions that I used to enjoy as a child. New Year's was always a really fun time for me because it was one of the few times I got to stay out really late. My parents didn't allow sleepovers after a sleepover incident. To summarize, basically, my friend came over and slept over once and left in the middle of the night because of something. I was a little upset about that, and so as quote-unquote revenge, we went over to his house. We watched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the one where the guy rips his heart out. Yeah, I was like six, and it kind of scared me, but I thought that I didn't sleep well. You know, come to find out later I had slept fine, but at like midnight, I said, you know what? I'm scared. He left my house in the middle of the night. I'm going to call my dad and have me come over. And it was literally right next door. But anyway, so after that, no sleepovers. On occasion, we would get to stay out to what we called a late night. Late night, capital L, capital N, proper noun. And during late nights, we would get to stay out till 10 o'clock. So much fun. But on New Year's Eve, because it's New Year's, we were allowed to stay until later, I think 11. I don't think we even stayed till midnight or something. But because, you know, we didn't have a car, so we had to get our parents to drive us home. So every New Year's Eve, I don't know when it started, but I was very young, probably 9 or 10, I would go over to my friend Cameron's house. And Cameron and I would start a new co-op player game of mini car racing. Mini car racing was this old computer game that was kind of a top-down view of a racetrack. And you would drive these little cars around. It was called mini car just because the cars looked small on the screen, I guess, because in the game they're like normal sized car, you're like in a regular racetrack. But it was really fun. You could change your skin for the car or the paint job, I guess. You would slowly progress through levels, and as you progress through the levels, you would move on to the next world. Each world was different, had a different theme. One of them was a lava world. It had like little lava patches that would damage you as you go through them. The final world, I should say, was the moon, where gravity was super low, which caused all sorts of fun problems. But it was a blast. You could upgrade all sorts of stuff. You could upgrade your tires, your engines, and the coolest part, of course, was the weapons. It had a bunch of different types of weapons. It's actually a really advanced game for when it was made in, like, you know, 98 or something. But each car had different abilities, different slots for different types of equipment. You could have special equipment. You could have a certain amount of guns, a certain amount of defense. Some cars had, like, one gun slot and five defense slots or whatever. But it had all sorts of good stuff. It had a machine gun that did super low damage, but you could fire a whole bunch of. It had lasers that would blast people. It had these souped-up lasers that would go through multiple cars. It had missiles that were seeking. It had rockets that just shot off. I always liked the oil slicks and the glue traps. The oil slicks, of course, making it so you put one in the corner and people spin out, which could be yourself, so you have to watch out. The glue traps were the exact opposite. You would hit it and just immediately stop. It had mines that would blow you up, you know, do some damage. It had mines that would make you, like, jump up in the air, which would make you spin and go all sorts of crazy. And you could get a jump pack to avoid things, which was always dangerous because you could jump and spin around in a circle and end up going the wrong way, which is worse than just avoiding whatever it was. But it was a really fun game. We loved it. I should go find it and play it. It's still good, probably. Hopefully. Anyways, the single player version, you could save and work your way through the campaign, right? But the co-op player version, where you're both playing, did not allow you to save. You had to play it, and when you quit, you had to start over from the beginning as two players. And also, if you had two players playing and one person was eliminated after the first set of races, because if you don't get a good enough position in the first set of races, you don't move on to the next world. If the second player gets eliminated, you just keep going. Just one person plays and you can't save. So we ended up playing it as co-op, essentially, where we would make sure that we were going to pass. Excuse me. We would make sure that we were going to pass into the next section, the next world. And then after that, we would have good fun racing each other and blowing each other up. But because it took so long, it took, at least 3 hours, probably four, if we were doing really well, to pass the whole game. It was always our New Year's tradition. Excuse me. We would start, I think, around 6 o'clock and finish before we had to leave. Maybe 5 o'clock, something. So it was probably 4 hours of playing. We would just play straight through. I think we had pizza a lot of times. That was good. Take short breaks to go do other things, but for the most part, just played mini car racing. And that was, it's just a great New Year's tradition that I still remember. And we tried to recreate, one more time when we were in our late teens, but I don't remember. I think it went pretty well. You know how it is. Games are just, it's just not as fun, I guess. For Christmas, another fun story from Cameron's house. My parents never, I don't know, my parents never talked about Christmas presents in front of us, really. And I think they did it in secret, when we were asleep or whatever. But one time I was over at Cameron's house and we were upstairs playing or whatever. And his parents came in and said, "Hey, we need you to go downstairs and play some games downstairs for a while. All the siblings need to go downstairs while we like unpack." They must have been unpacking toys, or Cameron and his siblings thought that they were discussing what to get. So everyone says, "Cool, yeah, we'll go downstairs." As soon as Cameron's mom walks off, Cameron grabs, he like rushes into his bedroom and just starts clawing through his closet full of stuff. And I'm like, "What the heck?" So I go downstairs. And all his siblings come downstairs, and they all seem really excited. They're waiting for Cameron. He still hasn't shown up. Cameron comes down the stairs, holding something behind his back, and they close the door at the bottom of the stairs. And all his siblings look at him expectantly, and he pulls out this little, it looked like a ray gun. It was a gun-shaped thing, and but it had like a antenna at the end, like it was poking out, and it also had this big dish that surrounded it, and it was a listening device. He pulled out a set of headphones, put them on, and sat right up next to the door. There's a little gap under the door, and so he stuck his little radar dish doohickey listening thing under there, pulled the little trigger, and it would amplify the voices upstairs. And so he sat there listening as hard as he could, like a little FBI agent, while all his siblings waited for him to say, report back in about what he was hearing and what they were supposed to get for Christmas. I don't think it worked very well. Listening devices tend to need to actually have line of sight to people and not just magically hear through walls. But he sure tried, and I don't think they found out what they were going to get for Christmas until they got Christmas. So that was a really, really fun memory that stuck with me. Probably will forever be stuck with me, which is great. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Sundance Sleepcast, despite my croaky voice that keeps cropping in. So thank you very much, and have a good night.